Hello again, everybody. This is Lance Russell with Championship Wrestling with another big week. Join us right now.
Hey, welcome to the Double Dropkick Show. I'm Heath Mulliken.
I'm Mark Whitman.
And welcome to the wrestling podcast where we talk about wrestling.
Yeah.
And stuff.
And stuff.
Sometimes we talk about the wrestling you grew up with, stuff from the 80s. Sometimes we talk about stuff from today.
Sometimes we talk about our favorite movies.
Yeah.
You know.
Sometimes we talk about TNA, and for those times, we apologize.
Oh, I don't. I didn't do anything wrong. Other than, like, say, sure, Heath, you can talk for 45 minutes. Let's see what happens. I'll be quiet for a change and let you talk.
Hardy, har, har. So, hey, last Sunday night, Mark, we're going to start this episode out talking Hell in a Cell. Mm-hmm. If you're a new listener, okay, let's kind of fill you in on what we do. Mark and I, we don't watch.
I watch a lot of wrestling and talk about it, and Heath Googles some stuff and reads off details.
Yes. We don't watch a lot of Monday Night Raw. We'll see what happens, but we mainly
I typically watch the go-home Raw before the pay-per-view.
Yeah. And so the reason we have been talking about more the pay-per-views, because it's refreshing when we watch the pay-per-views if you haven't watched Raw.
It really is, yeah, because they do such a great job with those video packages that by the time I watch the go-home show and the pay-per-view, I'm caught up with what happened anyway. And the matchups right. are fresh because I haven't seen the four tag matches where they didn't have a finish or the singles matches where they traded wins. I didn't see any of that stuff.
Yeah, yeah. There was a great article. Was it Hofer? Somebody posted an article about the 50-50 booking.
Right.
And as I read it, I wanted to sue the person because it was like they stole all of your ideas, everything you've said.
Oh, I get that all the time.
So let's talk. The very first thing of Hell in a Cell started off with the U.S. Open Challenge.
Uh-huh.
The speculation going into it, really running rampant, was who was
his. Was it really running rampant?
I mean, it was on Facebook, at least.
Okay, like so three people were worried about it.
Well, I mean, so many people were saying Samoa Joe. I knew it wasn't going to be Samoa Joe because if you read the spoilers of what they had just filmed for NXT, didn't fit in storylines.
Okay.
Not that.
Yeah, because that's their big thing.
A lot of people said Daniel Bryan. Daniel Bryan's flying to Los Angeles, and he's going to be cleared, and it's going to be him. And that's really who I thought it was going to be. But it turned out to be.
That would have been good.
Now, okay, let me ask you this. When Zeb Coulter came out, when you heard Jack Swagger's music.
I knew it wasn't going to be Jack Swagger.
Yeah, where is Jack Swagger?
I don't know. Him and Zack Ryder somewhere having a beer together, I think.
Him and Zack Ryder and the Usos.
the Usos and Natalya. And,
yeah.
Well, she's doing something, I think, now.
Well, I mean, Tyson Kidd. Hopefully he can come back.
He's good, man. Him and Cesaro were such a good team.
Oh,
I mean, like,
man.
They found that.
They were going the Hollywood. Kind of doing what the Hollywood Blondes
That's
did.
That's right. They put them in a tag team, and then they started wearing matching gear. I thought they had some legs, man. That could have been a good tag team. And hey, hopefully he'll come back.
Another thing I liked about their tag team is the contrast.
Yeah.
Where you got one big guy and one little guy.
Right.
Which is why our tag team is so great.
That's right.
So when Zeb Coulter rolls out, what were you thinking? Who did you think?
You know, he started talking about countries coming together and stuff, and I thought, well, maybe it's Rusev. You know, I thought that maybe it's Rusev. I thought maybe Cesaro even. I thought maybe we're going to get kind of him renewed with Coulter, is it? But I don't think I was expecting Alberto Del Rio. That was kind of a, you know, I wouldn't say it shocked me. Because I had already heard that he was in talks to return.
Right.
I mean, I don't think there was any secret. I heard Conan actually, believe it or not, A lot of people are speculating about what went on between him and AAA. I actually listened to Conan's podcast.
Yeah.
that's my gimmick, is being well-informed and actually...
not speculating.
Not speculating. I actually try to find the truth.
Leave
about
that to me.
Right. And Conan basically said they called him, and he was up front with them about the fact that he had been in contact with them, and they wanted him to not work his AAA dates, to just come on in. And he told them, basically, this is what Conan said. I told them, I didn't call you. You called me to come in. And what I'm telling you is, if you want me to come in, I want to honor my commitments to AAA.
Yes.
For the shows, because that's the right thing to do.
Yeah.
And if you can't do that, and then the money wasn't where he wanted the money to be at, and they hung up the phone, and then they called him back and said, okay, we can offer you this, and we'll let you work the dates that you're committed for. The biggest problem is that they had a hair versus hair match set up between him and Jeff Jarrett. Mm. And Conan said that kind of debunked that is not going to be easy for them now, because it would have been easier before, but now they kind of have to work around
right
that he may not be able to shave his head and for WWE. I mean, they're not going to. And so they have to figure out a way to get out of that match.
Yeah.
Without him having, you know what I mean?
Right.
And because
right.
Once he's gone to WWE, everybody knows he's losing.
Yeah.
So how do you book that?
Right.
Where there's some suspense for it. That was his biggest thing, was booking. Like, he was not upset with him at all. For those that don't know, Conan's one of the bookers for AAA Mexico.
Correct. Yeah.
And he's Lucha Underground, and he works with them a lot. And basically, he was like, there's no hard feelings. Everybody understands. It's business. He's honoring his dates. Just like anybody else quitting a job and moving on and giving a 2 weeks notice. So there's no hard feelings on his part, but there's an issue on their part of how do we kind of book around this so that the suspense is there about what's going to happen. But I'm just going by, what AAA's booker said. I would much rather take some guy in a Facebook group's opinions about things.
What tends to happen, not just about wrestling, but so many other things, unfortunately, is the initial story comes out.
Right.
Everybody speculates, and then the facts come out, and we're all wrong.
Yeah, yeah. You mean mothers and sons texting one another about drug deals and stuff like that? And even though he's a little angel,
that would be very, very true.
And he was like threatening to kill his girlfriend and her whole family. I mean, I'm sure he's a nice guy.
I didn't know who to expect. I was hoping for Daniel Bryan. I was hoping for an unknown. If they had just brought Alberto Del Rio out by himself, that would have been I don't want to use the word.
I'll tell you
downer.
What would have been. I don't like the chemistry between Zeb Coulter and Alberto Del Rio. I don't think it's there.
But I think it's not.
Clearly, there's supposed to be some tension there between.
Right, right.
But I would like to have seen Rodrigo.
Ricardo.
Somebody just sent me a text message. I'm sorry.
Ricardo Rodriguez.
It was about work, but it's not. Yeah, I would like to have seen Ricardo come out. That would have. I think if he had come out, it would have been better.
Yeah.
Because then everybody would have kind of known what was going to happen, but you would have had that build up to it. And they're such a good act together.
It would have been cool to have Coulter, and when he got ready to say Alberto Del Rio, you have Ricardo's voice.
That'd
have been
good.
What can I say about this match that other than I've never seen John Cena lose like that in the last 10 years?
Just a clean, like in the middle of the ring finish?
Out of nowhere. Not even a...
You've never seen him win, lose like that?
I've never seen him lose... lose before kicking out of the other guy's finisher 10 times.
Well, there's some truth to that, yeah.
I mean, I've seen him lose clean,
right,
but not without looking invincible.
True. Yeah, because I was kind of shocked the way I agree with that.
So, let's be very clear. John Cena had a normal wrestling match.
Yeah.
And none of us really know what to do with that.
That's true, man. Yeah, he didn't do the Superman routine.
Yeah, I mean, did he do like the five-knuckle shuffle and all that?
Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, he may have after the match.
Because when
he was in the shower or Wendell, something. But I don't know. But I don't think he did it during the match.
I don't think we need to.
Because I think
there.
Him and Nikki Bella broke up, so I'm sure he's doing the five knuckles.
Did they break up?
I don't know for sure. I kind of heard that they may have, but
Nikki
I don't know.
Nikki Bella. Oh, dear. Whew.
Yeah, we'll get to that. We'll get to that.
So, anyway, Alberto Del Rio wins. He's your U.S. champion. La-di-da. There you go.
There you go.
First man in history to hold the U.S. title and the AAA title at the same time.
Well, there you go. There's historic. Something to be said for that.
I don't know.
I hate that he's not going to be in Lucha Underground because I thought he was great on Lucha Underground.
Yeah, I'm not sure what the whole deal with that
was. I'm a bigger fan of his. I actually always kind of liked him. I mean, he was not like one of my favorites, but I always thought he had good matches. I thought it was very much going against the grain to make him the babyface in WWE.
Yes.
That didn't work, but he was a good babyface in Lucha Underground, and I didn't really see any of his AAA stuff.
Yeah.
But he was clearly in his environment doing the Lucha style.
The thing.
So I'm a bigger fan now than I was before. And I didn't hate him before.
Because you have now seen him work outside the mm-hmm. WWE formula of mm-hmm. a match. And, right. Yeah. So.
The match he had with John Morrison at Ultima Lucha was just phenomenal.
Right. The tag team match with the Dudleys and the New Day. Listen, there are so many people who don't get the New Day, who don't like the New Day. I like them. I think they're funny. They're entertaining.
They are.
Nobody cared about Kofi Kingston and Big E before they got in the New Day.
No, they didn't.
They used a trombone, for goodness sake, the other night.
Yeah, those guys they're entertaining. They're funny. You know, I enjoy watching their stuff. And the Dudley boys should have lost. I mean, it's that time in their career.
Right.
For them to – I don't get this idea that, well, they just did the Dudley boys wrong. No, you don't understand.
Yeah.
Because you're so used to the Hulk Hogans of the world not being willing to help make new stars. That when guys come along, and we're going to get to it later – definitely.
Yeah.
When guys like the Dudley boys come back and they are willing to help establish new tag teams and make the tag team division stronger.
Yeah.
Not by winning it and dominating it, but by being in it.
Yeah.
And giving good matches and giving the rub to a new tag team, that somehow they've been disrespected.
Yeah. They got jobbed out to the New Day. Right, he got hit with a trombone.
Yeah, they put the New Day over because the New Day is the new tag team in town.
Yes.
That's what guys of the Dudley boys' age are supposed to be doing.
Also heard, read just this morning, part of the deal with that is the Usos are getting ready to come back.
Okay.
And they're wanting to set up the Usos versus the New Day. Mm-hmm. That's really one of the feuds they want. And so that's why, you know, that's another reason they didn't put the titles on the Dudleys is because they've got two young tag teams
right.
that you're trying to build. And so.
And I think the Dudleys will get to 10.
Eventually, absolutely.
Point, but they'll make a big deal of it.
That'd be great to see at WrestleMania.
Right. To have them chase those titles for a while
that would
and make
be great.
That the story. The Dudleys chasing number 10
yeah.
to solidify they're the greatest tag team. Whatever you want the story to be.
How refreshing. Listen. One thing I really, really love about WWE right now is, and maybe this could be said of every promotion, is there was a time in WWE all of the titles were cheapened because, yeah. and I use this example a lot, Sunday night pay-per-view, guy would lose a title, get it back on Monday.
Right.
I remember Kane beat Austin for the title in a First Blood match on a Sunday night, and Austin won it back on Monday. Now you've got guys, teams – keeping those titles. Did anybody care? I mean, whatever you think of Nikki Bella's wrestling ability or lack of it.
That's unfair to say she's lacking.
I'm saying what other people say.
Yeah. Oh, I know. Yeah. They don't like her because they couldn't get a girl like that if they had the money.
Oh, dear heavens of mercy.
I'm just calling that like it is.
They couldn't. And you did.
Yeah.
We've got women.
Yeah, I got a woman like that.
That's right.
They don't have women like that, and they couldn't get women like that with a credit card with no limit.
When she broke the record, made the title mean something. And when Charlotte beat her, nobody cares about the Divas title.
No.
But you know what? Everybody was talking about the Divas title.
Right.
No matter what you're saying
about it.
Because
you had two back-to-back long runs.
Yes. Yes.
AJ Lee held it for a long time.
Yeah.
Nikki Bella held it for a long time.
Yeah.
And people care now.
Yeah. Wow.
And people want to see somebody different win. Okay, I want to see somebody dethrone this back. You're supposed to want to see somebody beat the heel.
Yes.
You are not.
Thank you, sir.
As smart of a mark as you think you are.
Yeah.
They build this heel. And did they do it so AJ Lee wouldn't have that run? Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I think they did. There's a lot of heat between the Brooks family and the McMahons, okay?
Right. Yeah.
That's there. That exists. There were some awful accusations made on both sides.
Yeah.
Awful things have been said. Do I think they did it to get that record off of AJ Lee? Absolutely.
Yes.
I don't disagree with that. I'm sure that that had something to do with it. But it doesn't negate the fact that Nikki Bella, first of all, is the best-looking woman in that company, and second of all, is not as bad in the ring as people think she is.
No, I agree with you 100% there.
She has gotten a lot, and anybody says that she hasn't gotten better, hasn't really been watching it, they're just parroting what somebody told them they should think.
Yes. Now, yes, I...
Now, that being said, are any of them in the same league as Manami Toyota and Bull Nakano and Akira Hokuto or Medusa Michelli?
No.
Sherry Martel? No. They're not in that league. None of them are. None of them are that good.
Yeah.
Maybe Sasha Banks is, because I really like her.
Yeah.
Maybe she could go with those girls. But no. And look, Charlotte Flair is not as good as everybody says she is.
I agree with that.
She is very, very, very green and sloppy in the ring.
I agree.
I see it in every match she has, and it ain't Nikki Bella's fault.
Yeah. Can I?
You know, it ain't. If you're doing that in every match, it's not your opponent's fault.
Can I say some of the – this? I got to be careful how I say this. Some of the sounds – in the women's matches.
Mm-hmm.
Like when Monica Seles played tennis and she was...
I was thinking the same thing. Yeah.
That got on my nerves, and it's the same thing.
Oh, don't get on my nerves, boy.
Oh, dear heavens. Moving right along.
No, it's a natural human bodily function.
For a woman to yell?
No. Oh, I'm talking about what it reminds me of.
Oh,
it's a natural function of the human.
Well, yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing.
But that's not the sounds I'm hearing.
Well, you ain't doing it. I don't know what to tell you then.
Well,
if you ain't never heard a woman go, ah, then you ain't doing something right.
It's going to be a great day. It's going to be a great day. We're going to get the giggles for the end of the day. All right, Kevin Owens and Ryback. I love Kevin Owens.
Oh, I do too.
I don't like people that don't like Kevin Owens.
That's right, and I don't like their mamas either.
There you go. And a year and a half ago, Kevin Owens.
And we're going to do a 100th episode, and I want to talk more about him then.
Okay.
If that's all right with you. And I say what you need to say, but I have some things that I want. Because I know with some of the stuff we're going to talk about, what's changed about our attitudes about wrestling. And he's a big one for me.
Yeah, and in a year and a half ago, he's in Ring of Honor. The rise he has had, the quickness,
right,
of from going from Ring of Honor champion to Intercontinental champion,
and really like almost bypassing NXT,
yes,
more than anybody has,
right,
more than anybody that's come into that company. They took him to NXT specifically just to shine him up a little bit,
yeah,
and kind of get him used to where he, you know, because that is part of their, yes, presentation is you, yeah, need to be in certain places because this is, we have our cameras set up, yeah, certain ways, and that's all he went to NXT for, was to kind of learn that stuff. Here's how we kind of block, yeah, everything, and then he was right on the main roster.
Yeah,
I mean, he almost skipped NXT altogether, and I don't. Even Samoa Joe didn't do that. And
right.
Samoa Joe's a big name in wrestling. I mean, whether he, yeah, was in TNA or not, he's a big name. James Storm, he may do the same thing. I don't know. James Storm may be main roster ready, but it says a lot about what they thought about Kevin Owens.
Yeah.
That he went right to the main roster.
If you don't like Kevin Owens, you're not going to like the next 10 years of WWE.
Nah.
Because that guy is there to
he's
stay.
He's money. If Triple H, and I think you're seeing a lot of Triple H's influence on the product right now.
Yeah.
And I'll say this, like, and we'll talk about it again on 100th. When I went from watching a 3-hour Raw to a 90-minute Raw on Hulu, I liked it a lot better. And then when I stopped watching the 90 minutes and just watching one Raw and a pay-per-view, I really enjoy the product now. Because it's not this overkill thing for me, but I can clearly see Triple H's influence with the titles meaning more, longer title runs, longer matches, guys who don't have traditional body types, at least for what they would push. You're starting to see those influences, and if he's got anything to do with it, I really think Kevin Steen's going to be a multimillionaire.
I 100% agree with everything you just said. I really feel like one of the main things hurting WWE, and we've talked about this before, and we're not the first people to say this, they have so much programming time to kill.
Right.
But when, for me, if you narrowed it down and you're just, like you said, you cut out all the fluff on Raw and you get down to it, and maybe would I... We talk about them having the same matches all the time. They're getting away a little bit from that,
yeah,
some too.
Mm-hmm.
And
where Monday night they had the all the winners fate. I haven't finished that episode yet, but I hear that match is really good.
So
I'm going to actually watch it this evening when we get done.
The from everything that I've heard. Raw is so hit and miss because I heard great things about it Monday night, and then this up, you know, tonight as people are listening to this on a Monday, it could be a complete stinker. It's just so hit. I think there's just so much of the WWE product right now.
Right. And I think that's what's so good about NXT is you're getting something that's, first of all, it's not live, it's polished.
Yeah.
It's only an hour long.
Yes.
You can feature different people doing different weeks. It's not the same cast all the time.
Yeah.
But you can always feature your main storyline. It's just, you know, I think that's why NXT is so good.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? I agree.
And that's why I think Lucha Underground was so good. It was an hour long. You had the chance to fix things in post-production. If somebody's promo wasn't great, you can cut the boring parts out.
Yeah. Speaking of Kevin Owens, you go to any wrestling show, you are going to see a ton of KO shirts.
Yeah, yeah.
Even at Bound for Glory, there was a lot of KO shirts.
Yeah, yeah. Isn't that like one of the reasons they moved him to the main roster so quick? That's what I'd heard, was that they released that shirt and were selling out of them, and everybody was like, "Whoa, people like this guy."
Right, right, you know? Right. Yeah, dude, and. Yeah, he's here to stay,
yeah.
And a lot of people don't like him. And a lot of people don't like Seth Rollins either. And those people are morons.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, he's such a chicken heel. Oh my goodness, I don't think. Okay, That's why I love this show, because we can go wherever we want to go. Ric Flair in the 80s.
Well, Seth Rollins is no Ric Flair. Let me stop you there. No,
right. Right.
Ric but Flair, he has potential to be this generation Shawn Michaels.
Ric Flair lost by disqualification so much in order to keep the title that World Class Championship Wrestling, and I know it's all the work, World Class left the NWA. I know there was politics and all this stuff involved, but when World Class left the NWA, they said, our champion will be able to lose the title on a disqualification.
Right.
Like, that's what a heel champion does.
Yeah, that's what the whole Four Horsemen deal was. If Ric Flair's in trouble, we come out and he loses by disqualification. Yeah. So he retains the title. Yeah, there again, smart marks ain't as smart as they think they are.
About anything.
That's why people call me a smart mark, I get offended. Yeah. I'm a mark. I'm a wrestling fan. Yes. I'm not ashamed of that.
Yeah.
I'm not a smart mark. I'm smarter than most of the people that are Mark, because I get it. I mean, I understand what the business is, but I'm just not a smart Mark.
Like, you and I understand that it's about making money.
Yeah.
That Alberto Del Rio is in WWE because they are willing to pay him. Yeah. However much
Conan
it is.
Said, Triple A could not match the offer that WWE made. He said, if we could have, we would have matched it, and he'd have stayed in Triple A.
Right.
So that's why there's no hard feelings.
Yeah, yeah. What were some of the other matches at Hell in a Cell? My feed kept going.
We talked
in
about
and
the Bellas and Charlotte, the Roman Reigns, Bray Wyatt, Hell in a Cell.
That's
match,
when my feed was messing.
It's not bad. I mean,
not a bad match.
That wasn't a bad match. It was a pretty decent match.
I don't know that.
I never thought they had good chemistry together.
Right. I'm glad that feud's over.
Yeah, me too. Me too. They didn't have chemistry.
I will say,
which is odd, because the Shield and the Wyatts have incredible chemistry together, but just those two, no. But they're not the heavy lifters for their teams.
No.
Neither one of them are. I mean, they've both filled the role of their team of, I mean, when you had to go through everybody else to get to Bray Wyatt.
Very good.
And point. Then with Reigns, he was the muscle of the team. I mean, he wasn't the guy that did all the flips and the flying, and he wasn't the unhinged one like Dean Ambrose. He was the guy that come in and hit two or three big power moves. So they both sort of filled that same role for their team of, if that makes sense.
No.
Of not being the heavy lifter.
Mark, you just own today. Like, your analysis today, brilliant. Brilliant. I am subjected to so much ignorance on Facebook from wrestling
why I
fans.
That's why and I'm going to tell you, I'm thinking about getting rid of my Facebook altogether.
Very good. So let me just say how I was feeling about this pay-per-view. I was very tempted. I'd had a long day Sunday. I was very tempted. I wanted to go to bed, but I had to see that main event, which is something that give them credit. I'm like, I have to see this match. I don't want to get up and watch it tomorrow. Right. I want to watch it live. I want to see what happens, because I didn't know what was going to happen. Right. You heard so many rumors. Well, somebody's going to interfere, and somebody's going to do this, and this is going to happen. And it's the final time. It's the final time Undertaker's in Hell in a Cell. He was in the very first one, if I'm not mistaken. He and Shawn Michaels.
He and Shawn
Michaels. Oh, my goodness. Talk about blood or no blood. Go back to that match. Right. Good grief.
Yeah.
So let's talk about Taker and Lesnar. Going in, who did you think was going to win?
Lesnar.
You thought Lesnar was going to win? I agree.
Mm-hmm. There again, that's Undertaker, man. If anybody that thinks they disrespect, it goes back to that Dudley's thing. Undertaker cares about the wrestling business. He did what was right. Undertaker has been and was, for before Lesnar came in and then overlapping Lesnar, Undertaker was the big special attraction that WWE had.
Yeah.
That they dusted off a few times a year for big shows. He was the special attraction.
Yeah.
He has christened the new special attraction.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Good. Very good.
You know.
And I love.
And who better? Brock Lesnar said it on Steve Austin's podcast when he asked him. Lesnar said it point blank. And he's right. And I'm guessing Undertaker feels the – I would not speak for Mark Calaway.
Yeah.
But I know if I'm a man, this is how I would feel. If I'm looking at the whole entire rest of that roster, who else on there is credible enough to be the guy to end Undertaker?
Yeah.
It's Brock Lesnar.
Right.
All day long.
Yeah.
You know, and so Undertaker – when it happened at WrestleMania and when it happened this time, I always think of it, the movie 300, when the wife tells the husband, either come home carrying your shield or laying on it.
Yeah.
And I think Undertaker wants to go out on his shield. He wants to be that guy.
Right.
That, like, he keeps coming back. There's another great scene in 300 where they look over. Have you seen the movie?
Yeah.
Where they're looking down over and there's all these guys rushing up that they're going to have to fight. And this guy's got a big smile on his face. And the other one said, what are you smiling about? We have to go down and fight these guys. And he said, I'm smiling because down there somewhere, I'm hoping there's somebody who can give me a beautiful death. And I just feel like that's where it's so subtle.
Yeah.
And I don't think everybody gets it. That's the storyline with Undertaker now, is he's in the end of his career, and he wants that guy to take him out.
Yeah.
And I think that what we'll – and I don't know. It's probably going to be at WrestleMania because we'll just skip – the match itself was incredible.
Yeah.
But when he's laying in the ring trying to set up.
That was great. That was great.
And he tries two or three times, and he finally sets up, and it's like, all right, I got one more in me because I can set up. And I really think we'll see the day when he doesn't set up anymore, the ring will go black. The arena will go black. The lights will come back on, and he'll be gone.
Yeah.
And that's how I think that Undertaker goes out.
Yeah.
Where he can't set up anymore, the lights go out, come back on, and he's gone. And
how
the smoke and the music plays, and the smoke goes, and Undertaker's gone.
How good is Mark Calaway?
I mean,
just all he was doing was trying to sit up, but in golly, us in the palm of his hand, listen, didn't he?
I got emotional.
Yes!
Watching that.
Thank you.
Because I'm such an Undertaker fan.
Yes!
I have been an Undertaker.
From day one.
From day one. First time he debuted, when he was Mean Mark Callis, I liked Undertaker.
Yeah.
I liked Undertaker so much that when I became a wrestler, I took two people's names. I took his name and I took Stan Hansen's name.
Yeah.
So that tells you where I place him. I was Mean Mark Hansen.
Yeah.
When I wrestled. And I took Mean Mark from Undertaker and I obviously took Hansen from Stan Hansen.
Yeah.
That's how much.
Yeah.
That Undertaker has meant to me over the years. And anybody who tells me he's overrated, then I question
Your sanity.
Your ability to judge good wrestling.
Yeah.
If you tell me that.
Yeah.
And I understand he had some crappy feuds.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
But what does it say about him that he could have a feud with Kamala? And with King Kong Bundy.
Yeah.
And you remember it.
What does it say about him?
That those were some...
His gimmick, he's supposed to be a dead person. He... That bug got it over.
A zombie.
Zombie!
That is the
he
most...
He was ahead of his time.
Of all of Vince McMahon's ridiculous creations, that's the most ridiculous. And he got it over. You're talking about a guy, they're saying 25 years... This guy was wrestling for 5 or 6 years before that.
That's exactly right.
His debut match was against my other all-time favorite wrestler, Bruiser Brody.
Yep.
So much so that I named my dog
Bruiser Brody.
And do you know that in his first match, his manager, a young Percy Pringle, who would go on to be Paul Bearer, managed a guy named Texas Red, wearing a mask, who was Mark Calaway under a mask. In a squash match against Bruiser Brody.
Yeah.
And this is a guy that has, if you look back, I was thinking about this the other day.
Yeah.
And there's only about two guys that I can think of that you can name every major wrestler from the past 30 years, and they've been in a match with him. And one's Ric Flair, and the other's The Undertaker.
That's right.
Think about it, man.
Yeah.
Undertaker from Bruiser Brody.
To Brock Lesnar.
To Brock Lesnar.
Yeah.
think about that.
Wow.
I mean, Hulk Hogan, Ultimate Warrior, Jake Roberts, CM Punk,
John Cena,
Shawn Michaels, Triple H,
Edge,
Dusty Rhodes,
yeah.
Edge, Batista, Randy Orton. Who's some other? Scott Hall, Kevin Nash.
Yeah. Wow.
Goldust, Mick Foley.
Bret Hart.
The guys.
Hall of Fame resume.
Yokozuna.
Oh, my goodness.
Jimmy Superfly Snuka.
Elegante.
But the thing is, yes, he had the thing with Elegante, and it was great because Undertaker was.
That's right. You're exactly right.
Was the match good? No. The match sucked, but you remember it.
Yes.
You remember it.
Because you had a zombie wrestling a guy in a gorilla suit.
Right. You had a zombie wrestling Bigfoot.
Yes.
At WrestleMania.
Yeah. Like, here's the thing. Say what you want to about Vince, whatever. In a sport, business, whose credibility is through its ability to be grounded in reality, a man who was a supernatural zombie who couldn't be killed for 25 years got a gimmick over that the old timers would have scoffed at.
Right.
He is so not just good as a wrestler, but because Mark Calloway made you believe that he was the character,
so
the Undertaker.
So he's so protective of that gimmick. When they did the Owen Hart tribute show, he was not on it.
Right.
Because that would have killed his gimmick.
Yeah.
To show him as being human.
Yes.
I mean, that's a commitment.
Yeah.
I guarantee you at some point, he's had a credit card that said The Undertaker on it. He's just got a commitment to that gimmick, man.
For me, people are so down on WWE right now. I sat through 2 hours and 50 minutes of a pay-per-view. Would do it again just for that moment. Where for a moment, I'm thinking, oh, man.
Yeah, he's not going to set up and this is it. I thought for a minute, he's not going to set up, and this is his last match. I thought maybe that was his retirement match for a minute.
And I hate the fact, okay, and I texted you this during the show, because I would have thought that as well if they hadn't said before or during the pay-per-view, advertised him for Survivor Series.
That's right.
So I'm going, so, okay.
Well, but see, I thought just the opposite.
Dude, I got so
because they didn't say that he was going to have a match at Survivor Series. What they said was we're going to rise up for him.
Dude, I'm so excited.
So I thought, well, maybe. Oh, you're excited?
Yeah, you're.
I never, ever. That's like one of my. You talk about the bucket list. My bucket list has always been to see The Undertaker live. And every time I've gone to see him, he has, like, twice.
Yeah.
He was advertised and wasn't there.
Yeah. Yeah, dude.
Because cards subject to change. And they would just, okay. And so to know that we're going.
Yeah.
And that the whole night is going to be. Oh, man. And he's, there's no way he's not there. You know what I mean?
Right. Especially.
So when I saw that.
Yeah.
What I thought going into that was, man, he's retiring.
Right.
This is it.
Yeah.
They're not hinging WrestleMania on Undertaker coming back this year.
Yeah, I don't know. No, I definitely think that. I've heard talk that the assumption is this is going to be his last WrestleMania. I've heard, Jim Ross said he's heard this is not going to be his last WrestleMania.
Yeah, that's what I've heard, too. Yeah, I've heard he's told a lot of people he feels better than he's ever felt.
Yeah, and he looks great.
Yeah.
He looks so – there was a couple-year period where he just didn't look good.
Yeah, it was that hair, man.
Yeah.
When he cut his hair off.
Can we talk – look, I do want to talk about the match a little bit.
Oh, I do, too. Yeah, so, I want to go. Yeah, I'm sorry. I had to skip ahead.
No, that was great, man.
To him putting Brock Lesnar over. That's important. He didn't get disrespected by putting Brock Lesnar over.
He and Brock Lesnar have had three matches now, and you
Well, they've had more than that.
Well, since WrestleMania.
Did you see their first Hell in a Cell match?
I did not.
Oh, you should go back and watch it.
You kind of throw out that WrestleMania 30 match because of the concussion.
That was, I mean.
But then the last, they've had three different matches.
Yeah.
That did not follow a formula. I thought their Hell in a Cell match for 2015 was great. Let me ask you this. I want to go back and watch it. I haven't watched the replays. The big controversy is about the blood.
Yeah, I know you were going to ask about that.
I want to go back and watch it.
I don't need to go back and watch it. I know what happened.
All right, tell me what happened.
Well, I want to hear your take on it.
I want to hear your take.
No. Please, as the guy who's never had a match, tell me. I'm just kidding with you about that. But that is what I see. Oh, they did this and they did that. First of all, I don't like the term blading. For me, it's always color or getting juice.
Okay.
But you can say blading. I mean, a lot of people do. I just think when I hear blading, I always think that it's Smart Mark's talk.
Gotcha. Okay.
But I hear wrestlers use it too. I mean, it's not a term that wrestlers don't use, but in the South. Southeast, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
In locker rooms, it's always juicing or getting color. So I'm not used to hearing the term blading.
So for me, I don't care how it happened, personally.
Yeah.
I thought it made the match better.
Of course it did. It always does. That's why they say blood red is dollar green.
They made, allegedly, Brock goes into the post. Mm-hmm. Then Meltzer's made such a big deal that he got his hand up.
Uh-huh.
The only reason I'm saying this, I'm in conspiracy theory mode. Uh-huh. Okay. Because he does hit his head on his glove where the cut occurs. And it's not a nice little neat. It's a 9-staple gash that he had.
You know, that's not the first time that's happened to him.
Right.
It happened on Raw a few years ago with Triple H.
But, okay.
Brock Lesnar's a bleeder.
Okay.
Okay, go ahead.
And if he had not done this one thing, I wouldn't even be talking about this. Mm-hmm. But later on, he takes that glove off.
Mm-hmm.
And that just got my brain going into conspiracy theory mode.
You didn't notice that he took the glove off right before Undertaker started bleeding?
Right.
There's a reason.
Oh, yes.
Because he took a knuckle and he busted the Undertaker open with it.
Yeah.
So that both of them have deniability. I hit my head on the ring post. He hit me a little too hard and it busted my head open.
Yeah. Loved it. And
nobody cut anybody. And that way, okay, I know you're mad, but nobody cut anybody.
And so people were talking about how Vince wasn't mad about the blood. Vince was, if Vince was upset, the doctor
goes. Do you know this? How do you know? I'm just curious how you know what Vince was mad about.
I called him.
Okay.
No, I'm saying I don't know what Vince.
But you just did. You said that's not what Vince was mad about. What Vince was mad about was, and you're fixing to tell me what he was mad about, and I just want to know how you know what he was mad about. Why you know more about what he was mad about than the other people that respect
him. Then I misspoke because I don't know what he was mad about.
Okay, all right.
I misspoke. But the doctor goes in, and I thought that was great.
Yeah,
that Lesnar just.
Yeah.
I understand why the doctor's got to go in there. It was a great match. The drama made it all the much better.
I thought about that when he threw the doctor down and wonder if somebody told him to do that or if it was just he did it and now they're going to have to give that doctor a big bonus check.
Well, you know, he didn't mess with him anymore after that.
There needs to be
one. And I did read
somewhere. That's why I like Brock Lesnar. He's got the spirit of Bruiser Brody is alive in Brock Lesnar. I don't care what anybody says. It is.
Yeah.
If you think Bruiser Brody loved the business, he didn't. Bruiser Brody went where the money was at.
That's exactly right.
And that's
right.
What Brock Lesnar does. He goes where the money's at. And if you get in his face, he's not afraid to punch you and knock you down because he's that kind of guy.
Right.
And that's why people like Brock Lesnar because I'm not sure. about him. Did he really bust his head open? Did he cut himself?
I love it.
Was he supposed to throw that doctor down? He creates that. And that's why I like him. That's why everybody, yes, whether they want to admit it or they don't, that's why they talk about him. Yes. Because he's the one. Why is he the guy to destroy Undertaker? Because he is the only guy in that company, in the wrestling industry today, where everything you look at him and you go, I don't know if it was supposed to go like that.
Love it.
That's why people like Brock Lesnar. He is an outlaw. He has the spirit of Bruiser Brody is alive in Brock Lesnar.
There's something about Brock Lesnar that's like a Wolverine berserker mode.
Yes.
And it's like,
you
totally
just don't know. I see Undertaker in an airport, am I going over to Undertaker and saying, how you doing, sir? I'm a big fan. I don't want to bother you. Absolutely. I'm doing that every time. I'm going to introduce myself to Undertaker.
Yeah.
Hulk Hogan, Ric Flair, anybody. But if I see Brock Lesnar in an airport, he's already told me he wants to be left alone and he don't like people, so I'm not going to bother him. Yeah. I might give him a fist bump. How you doing?
Correct.
And that is it. And I'm going to keep walking. I'm not asking for an autograph. I'm not asking him for a picture because he's going to say no.
Yeah.
He don't like people.
I was thinking about that. It's so funny you said, because I was thinking about, what if I saw Brock Lesnar? Because my buddy saw somebody in the airport, got a picture with him. And it's like, what if you saw Brock Lesnar? I would just say, thank you. And that's all I want. I just want to say thank you. That's all I want.
Yeah.
I don't need an autograph. I just want the opportunity one-on-one to say, I believe.
I hope that they're doing some kind of meet and greet at Survivor Series with some people. If he's there, I mean, that'd be that. Because when he does that stuff, I've seen him pose for with fans.
Oh, right, right.
He does those kind of
when
things.
When he's getting paid to
when
do it.
When he's getting paid to do it.
Right.
But I've also seen video of him in an airport tell somebody no because he's with his family.
Yeah.
You know?
It was great.
And you said, I love Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, but I ain't seen nothing like that ever. And I agree with you 100%.
Yeah.
There was no flip. I thought when you said it, I was already kind of thinking the same thing. Like, I love to watch that stuff, man. And nobody cut no flips. Nobody did nothing, you know, whatever. Yeah. But that's the best match I've seen in years.
Yeah. It really is.
It really was. I mean, as far as WWE goes,
yeah,
that's one of my favorite WWE matches from the past few years.
So unpredictable. You didn't know who was going to win. I loved the low blow.
Yeah.
I loved it.
Yeah.
Pete, we talked about it when Undertaker first came back.
Mm-hmm.
That was a big deal. You had a wonderful explanation of Undertaker showing ultimate respect to Brock Lesnar to say, the only way I can even have a chance with this guy is to low blow him.
Right.
So I know
everybody doesn't agree with that. They think he was being the heel. I never thought he was being the heel. But I'm a old guy that if I had to fight, would fight. And I understand if I get in a fight with somebody, they're getting kicked in the balls.
Yeah.
If I got to fight a guy 15, 20 years younger than me, you think I'm fighting fair?
Nah.
See, that the people that think street fights are fair have never been in a street fight. There ain't no fair in a street fight.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to try to take your eyeball out.
Did you?
I'm going to have to bite you on the ear. I'm going to have to kick you in the balls. That's the way it is when you get in a street fight.
Man. Have you seen these two kids are getting in a fight in a cul-de-sac? And one of them is messing with the other one and kind of instigating it.
Right.
And he keeps messing with the kid, messing with the kid, messing with the kid. The kid throws him in a chokehold. I mean, throws him in a chokehold. And he's on his back, and he's got him in a chokehold, and they're on the ground. And the kid that's being choked starts tapping out, starts tapping. And so eventually the other kid lets go of him and just says, that's right, don't mess with me. He's like, what are you doing, man? I tapped. He's like, what do you mean you tap? We fighting.
Yeah, we fighting.
We fighting.
Yeah, you like, decided they, you wanted to get in a fight
no
with
tapping.
Me. There ain't no fair.
There
ain't no tapping. Ain't no referees.
So,
you might get your eyeball gouged out.
So this is, you know, people who, and again, you and no one's been more critical of the WWE product. And I think we have been logically and fairly critical of them. But in this case, the storytelling of Brock and the Undertaker, the way the story is complete.
Right.
That and I thought that the low blow completed it. that this section started with a low blow and it ended with a low blow.
Yeah.
And it was a good bookend, and I loved it, and they made me believe, and Undertaker made me believe. And so if you're ready, let's talk about – are you ready to talk about the post-match?
Yeah, because here's the thing. I have purposely avoided what anybody said. I haven't read what Jim Ross, Bruce Mitchell, Wade Keller, Dave Meltzer. I've read what nobody said. Even on Facebook, I didn't pay attention to what anybody said about this match or what happened afterwards.
Yes.
Because I want to know that what I say – whether somebody else has said it before me or not, I like to know that this is my original thought. Okay. Here's my issue with what happened afterwards.
Okay.
After the match. I just listened to JBL and everybody else, but specifically JBL, tell me that Undertaker is the greatest of all time. That there are two people that have there's only two bad people. He said it. Basically, two people have a certain level of respect where everybody respects them in the history of the wrestling business, and one's Andre the Giant, and the other is The Undertaker. And you always kind of hear those two names when everybody talks about the people who are universally respected. And we are supposed to have a locker room of good guys. Roman Reigns, Dean Ambrose, John Cena, Dolph Ziggler, the Ryback, whoever. Supposed to be these good guys, but after Undertaker just went through a hellacious match, a hard fought match, four people come down and beat him up, and he's got so much respect from his peers, and these guys in the locker room are so great that nobody came down and helped him.
Yeah.
That was ridiculous that nobody came down. There was no sense of, like, what should, okay, I understand. If you need for them to beat him up and carry him off, there is a freaking cage there. All they had to do, Bray Wyatt's supposed to have control over these mystical powers, is lower that cage down and have them beat him down in the cage while other people are trying to get in the cage.
Yeah.
That's all you have to do.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
And then you have some of these guys who they don't look like cowards.
Yeah.
And they don't look like they don't care about what happens to this guy they're supposed to have so much respect for. That's all I'm saying. You lower the cage down over them, and you have Ryback and Roman Reigns and those guys trying to get in the cage. And that's all you have to do.
Yeah. I think, to me, you have the four Wyatts beating up Undertaker. You lower the cage, and you have three guys come out trying desperately to get in that cage. And in that moment, you have sold your Survivor Series match.
Right, right. And I would have ultimately had the other guys trying to – that's where I was going with this. Before Brock Lesnar went back, after Undertaker set up, I would have had Brock Lesnar go back into the ring and make it look like he was going to jump on Undertaker again, and instead have them – you don't even have to shake hands.
Right.
You just do a fist bump.
Right.
Just a small show of respect. Okay?
Just like a nod, head nod.
Right.
Yeah.
And they did. There was a moment.
Yeah.
There was a moment where Lesnar kind of looked back and The Undertaker gave him.
Yeah.
There was that moment, but I would have made it a little more pronounced where it was seen. And first of all, Kane should have also come out.
Yes.
Okay, so I don't know. I'm just using names. Kane, Roman Reigns, and Ryback are Kane and Ryback. You don't even have to have Roman Reigns because you obviously have other things planned for him. But then Lesnar's had enough. Wait a minute. This guy, he just earned my respect. And Lesnar come out and ripped the cage door off. And when Lesnar rips that cage door off and goes in there and starts tossing those guys around – that place would have come unglued.
And then you have, I always go back to the Hogan Savage thing.
Right.
Where they're clearing the house and they run into each other. And it's like, oh crap.
Yeah, I don't even make it, I don't make it 80s hokey old school wrestling. Right. I wouldn't do that.
But I would make it where they clear the ring.
Have that moment where they cleared the ring.
Yeah.
And there was that, you know, I appreciate, like, I may not be your friend.
Mm-hmm.
We don't like each other, but I was not going to let that happen to you.
Yeah. Yeah. I was hoping.
I just
Lesnar
kept,
was
yeah,
coming
I
back.
I thought, man, Lesnar's got to come back.
Yeah.
But clearly, he must not be going to do anything at Survivor Series.
No.
Because first of all, he would have come out for that. And second of all, the next night on Raw, when they said everybody who won their match is going to get a shot, and then they didn't even bring him up. See, I don't.
Yeah.
That's my problem with them. It's stupid stuff like that.
Yeah.
Everybody who won their match has got an opportunity, and they don't even acknowledge
that he won.
That he won his match, and he's not going to be involved.
That was the thing I didn't like about of what I watched Monday night is you just had the end. Period.
Right.
Of this phenomenal
epic
feud.
Yeah.
Of
year long
career changing feud,
yeah,
for two men.
Right.
Didn't even talk about it.
Yeah.
Didn't even talk
never
about
even
it.
Never even happened. And we're having a thing, everybody who won last night, we're not even going to talk about the fact that he won and why he
won. And we're moving on.
And maybe that's their device to get Lesnar back. Maybe whoever wins this match, then Lesnar comes out and says, like, wait a minute, y'all had this thing where everybody who won got a match and you didn't ask me.
Yeah.
You know, and maybe that's his Royal Rumble.
Huh,
I don't know.
That'd be interesting.
Maybe that's their device to get him back. But I doubt it, because their opinion, there is that Kevin Dunn thing that people talk about. There is the opinion that his ideas are, well, it's just wrestling. It doesn't matter if you don't close those little gaps.
Right.
But it does matter.
It does matter.
If you close, like Walking Dead, they close their gaps. You know, eventually they may do something and it be two seasons later. Breaking Bad closed up the gaps in their storyline. Mad Men closed up the gaps in their storyline.
Sons of Anarchy.
I mean, are there plot holes and plot devices?
Yeah.
They're in everything. You're
yeah
going to have that, but not major ones. I mean, they try
right
to, you know, they try to explain things, especially the good shows.
Yes.
Try to explain those things.
Yeah. I was hoping something would happen at the end. Little disappointed when it was the Wyatts.
I wasn't really disappointed that it was the Wyatts. I was just disappointed that they didn't treat it. There was no sense of urgency that anybody needed to come help the Undertaker. I even, as much as JBL was on his knees in front of Undertaker on commentary, I thought maybe
yeah
he would have got out and come up in the ring and done something.
Maybe I should rephrase that. I was disappointed when the Wyatts attacked the Undertaker. When they came down, I thought, oh my goodness, what if there's like a passing of the torch? What if there's a union
yeah
between the Undertaker and the Wyatts? I actually got excited for that. Huh?
There may be.
Oh, that would
I'm
be
not sure that I'm not necessarily convinced, and I don't know because I haven't seen what happened Monday, and I'm not convinced that that's not what's happening. That Undertaker's not going to somehow be a part of. You know, I don't know. I'm not saying that's what it is, but it's to me more intriguing than Bray Wyatt versus the Undertaker. Unless it's just about passing that mythical stuff along to him and they want to do that, but I'm more intrigued by him being a part of the Wyatts.
Yes.
You know,
that's
cool, man.
Yeah, oh, that would be,
you know,
and let him be
that
the one sitting in the rocking chair.
Right, they've needed that legend
yeah
to me. And I've always thought, why are they not using Kevin Sullivan or Jake Roberts?
Oh, yeah.
In that role, but why not use Undertaker in that role where he can still be involved?
Yeah.
You know, and but he doesn't have to wrestle all the time. He can just be that presence that you're right. He's the one sitting in the rocking chair.
Yeah.
And he's the one giving him advice. And, I just think that's more intriguing than.
Yeah, because we haven't seen that.
Right.
Like in a business where there's really nothing new under the sun. Give us something new, Undertaker.
Yeah, right. There is something new. It's,
yeah,
it's Undertaker playing that advisor role.
Oh, that would be great.
To another
and you allow him to
character
still be on. You allow him to be a part of your storylines
mm-hmm
without being physically involved.
And you can be involved in matches, and he doesn't have to carry the match.
Right.
He can come in and hit his three or four big moves, and then tag out.
Yes. You could extend his career 3 or 4 years.
Exactly. I mean, you really could. He could come in, man, boom, he hits the last ride. That's all he's got to do. Or he comes in and tombstones somebody at the end of the match. That's all he's
got
to do.
There you go.
Doesn't have to do.
You got your money's worth.
Yeah.
Undertaker got in the ring.
You got to watch his entrance. He come in, he did his tombstone, and he tagged Luke Harper, and Luke Harper come in and got the pin.
Yeah. Yeah. That, I am, no matter what the match turns out to be.
Right.
Just the fact that it is looking more and more like Undertaker will be involved at Survivor Series.
Oh, I don't think it's looking more and more. I mean, when they tell me that it's all about 25 years of Undertaker, right. And he debuted at Survivor Series 25 years ago, I don't think there's any doubt that he's not going to play a major role in that,
yeah.
That card.
Do you think I don't want to give. You said you didn't watch the whole. They've set up the title match.
You can
match.
Tell me. I don't care.
Roman Reigns won the title shot.
Yeah, I know.
Number one contender.
Yeah, yeah. I just haven't got to the match.
So I'm assuming he and Rollins are going to wrestle at Survivor Series in a one-on-one match.
I'm hoping to see Dean Ambrose. That's what I want to see, the Shield three-way match.
Okay, I'm with you. I am on board with that. You're a good booker. Let me lay something out to you. Dean Ambrose interferes, costs Reigns the title. You kind of build up that feud. And then I don't know how you would do it where somebody's going to win the Royal – one of those has got to win the Royal Rumble, and then they end up with a three-way title match at WrestleMania. I don't even know if the title – maybe they take the title out of that. I don't know. I think WWE really wants eventually for Reigns to be the guy, to be the champion.
You think? Is that an original thought that you think that WWE wants Roman Reigns to be the guy? I'm just curious if.
Am I not the first person who said that?
I love your expert analysis of the wrestling industry, Christopher.
All that that is.
You know what I think is going on is I think they want Roman Reigns to be the main guy. Really? What have you based that on?
Listen, my everything, squad.
Everything everybody who is an analyst of the wrestling business has said for the past 3 years? Is that what you're basing that on, Heath? I'm just curious. What's your source for thinking that Roman Reigns is the guy that
I'm
they're
just going on
there?
What you said this morning at breakfast. We're okay. Sitting at breakfast this morning. Mark says, you know, I think they're trying to push Roman Reigns.
Yeah, that's what I said, yeah.
You said, you know, they need somebody like that.
So keeping up with your gimmick of letting me say stuff and then you coming on the show and passing it off as your own.
That's right. That's right. For the record, at breakfast this morning.
No, for the record, I did not.
For the record, we're sitting at breakfast. I said, Mark, I don't really want it. Let's not talk about breakfast. Talk about wrestling while we're eating. Let's talk about other stuff so it's fresh. Mark said, well, before we – I just got to say one thing. Heath, I got to stop you right there. I just need to say one thing. Have you noticed? I think Roman Reigns is due for a push. I said, really, Mark? That's awesome, Dick Tracy. Awesome. That is exactly
how it went down.
Verbatim.
Yeah, verbatim. Verbatim. At least know somebody that would say verbatim. I gotta tell you this, and it's like got nothing to do with anything.
No, that's great.
But I never get to give him a shout out. My friend Billy Goldsmith, who looks like Bill Goldberg, so we call him Goldberg.
Yeah.
We were talking about Miami Vice, and you have to know Billy. He's such a, and I say this to him, and I very much lovingly. He's such an old redneck.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. And like if when I needed, and I say that great. I don't mean it negatively towards him. He just is. He's that guy that can fix anything that's broke.
Right.
Like at work, when there's a problem, the first person everybody calls is, "Hey, Billy, you got a minute? You can come give me a hand."
Yeah.
Because he can just do it. He's just that guy, man. But we were talking about Miami Vice.
Yeah.
We were talking about old 70s and 80s TV shows
right.
And just kind of the ones that we liked. And he was like, I always liked Miami Vice. And he got to talking about the girls at the beginning walking down the steps, you know, in their bikinis.
Yeah.
But for some reason, and I think it was because we were on night shift and it was, you know, 3 a.m.
Yeah.
He couldn't remember the word bikini. And then he couldn't remember the word bathing suit. So what he came up with And it wasn't like this long, drawn out. It was, you know, the them girls walked down the steps and they had them old swimming britches on. like swimming britches. I want to get that trending. You got them.
Hashtag swimming britches.
Swimming britches.
That is.
So it's just like, I just thought, and I told Crystal about it yesterday. Like, I just the word, I told her what I just told you, swimming britches. And she laughed for 10 minutes. And she just kept repeating it. She would go, she'd kind of quit laughing, and then she'd go, swimming britches.
Oh, I know some people like that who, can't put coherent thoughts together. And
oh, he can put a coherent thought together. Yeah, and he'd kick your tail.
Yeah.
he's a big old boy.
Listen.
There again, he looks like Bill Goldberg. Clearly, he's a big old boy.
Swimming britches.
Hey, you girls know walking down the steps in them swimming britches, boy.
My goodness gracious.
Yeah, we had this great conversation about, like, when I was a kid, like, I thought that when I got older that I was going to be like Sonny Crockett.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty much the complete opposite of Sonny Crockett. but when I was a kid, I was like, I can't wait to get grown up, get me a Ferrari, get me a houseboat and a pet alligator, you know. And my daddy, I remember him going, we got a dog out back. I can't even get you to feed. You think you're going to have a pet alligator when you get grown up?
So, changing gears a little bit, you talk about Sonny Crockett, Don Johnson. He's on a show.
Yes.
Blood and Oil. Pendleton graduate, Travis Webb.
Not only Pendleton graduate, actually, not like a lot of people will say, a friend. He is a friend of mine.
Yeah.
We grew up on the same street.
Yes.
We used to hang out together some. Yeah, I'm very, very happy, very proud to hear that he's on that show now, man.
Yeah, good stuff.
And it's turning into something. I think he was cast as a member of as Don Johnson's security detail.
Yeah.
And they liked what he did, and they called him back, and now he will kind of be a part of the security detail.
I haven't watched that show.
It starts with episode 8, if I'm not mistaken. That's what he said. Episode 8 will be the one that he's going to be on.
That's also. I've got another friend. She's a little girl. She's guest star. Is my old roommate's daughter.
Oh.
And guest starring on an HBO show and doing a run on that. So, hey, man. You and I are in a movie.
Yeah, we are. Mid-Atlantic Memories. Speaking of TV shows.
Yeah.
You don't watch Walking Dead, do you?
No, I don't, but I know you wanted to talk about this.
I just wanted
to. We got about 20 minutes left in this episode.
Well, I'm not going to take long because there's really not a discussion for you and I to have.
Yeah.
But, man, they killed. Spoiler alert.
Yeah. Let me spoiler alert.
I'm going to spoil who died. So if you haven't seen it by now, I'm going to talk about the fact that they supposedly killed Glenn.
Yeah.
This guy has survived everything.
Yeah.
And he got chased and basically got cornered with this guy who there's been a story with him and the guy, like the guy ran one time and some other people died. And then they finally he tried to kill Glenn because Glenn knew that he had been a coward. And,
right.
And they got cornered and got up on top of this dumpster and they were just surrounded by zombies. And, and the guy pulled his gun out, shot himself. And when he did, he fell onto Glenn, and it knocked Glenn off into the swarm of zombies. And then, but the guy fell on top of him.
Yeah.
And all you see is Glenn's face where he's crying. You see this body getting ripped apart, and the intestines coming out, this and that and the other. It was just so heartbreaking that they killed Glenn, but I don't think Glenn's dead.
Right.
I know how he dies in the comics, and they're introducing that character that kills him. Spoiler alert again.
Yeah.
the character that kills Glenn is going to be introduced on the comics later on this season. And there's footage of Glenn.
Yeah.
And another telling thing is every time somebody dies, they do a show after The Walking Dead called Talking Dead.
Yeah.
And every time somebody dies, they appear on that show.
Yeah.
And Stephen Chow, the guy who plays Glenn, was not on Talking Dead that night.
Yeah.
So I just don't think he's dead. I don't know how they're going to come up with him surviving being on, with a swarm of zombies on top of him, but I just hope he ain't dead.
What's ironic is all these people that have sworn to stop watching The Walking Dead, and so unfortunately, they won't get to see that because they're so miffed that Glenn died.
Yeah.
That they're going to quit. Never going to watch it again.
Now,
I can't. They've gone too far. The best post I saw on this, and I don't watch the walk. The best post I saw on it was somebody that said, it's called The Walking Dead.
Yeah. I mean, if you watch the show and you read the comics, that's what is brilliant about it. Nobody's safe. Even
right.
Rick Grimes, the main character, is not safe
yeah.
from not dying. That's... When they started the comic book, that was the point that, like, you watch a zombie movie and it's over after an hour and a half, but you still, there's a world inhabited by these things.
Yeah.
And it is an ongoing, and the Walking Dead are the people who are alive.
Yeah.
They're not the zombies. The Walking Dead are the ones who are alive because yeah. they all realize this is going to happen to me.
Yeah.
At some point, my luck runs out.
Yeah.
And it happens to everybody. There's a couple of characters on that show, man, that people really love, and he was one of them.
Yeah.
And Daryl.
Yeah.
And Michonne. Are the I mean, and everybody loves Rick. There's the ones that you just want to see get it.
Yeah, right.
You know,
yeah,
they're
never going to die.
And they're never going to. Like, Carl is never gonna get killed.
So Rick, something happened with his hand or something.
Yeah, in the comics, he loses his hand.
Yeah,
very early on, he gets his hand chopped off.
Uh huh.
But they haven't done it on the show. But he did hurt his hand on this episode. So there's speculation that may be. But Robert Kurtzman, the guy who developed it, said that's the biggest mistake he made in the entire comic. Was cutting his hand off.
Really?
That if he could go back, he wouldn't have done it. Because it just, for that to be your main character and to him only have one hand, it limits what you can do with him in some situations.
What, are the Walking Dead comics still ongoing?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. They are. I'm way behind, man. Like, I've read like the first 100 episodes or the first 100 issues or something, but I've gotten behind now. Because I get the graphic novels when they come out, but I'm about 4 or 5 graphic novels. And they'll like put just like 4 issues in a graphic novel, and they're like $6 or $7.
Yeah.
So I read the first 2 compendiums or whatever that they put out that have like 48 or something like that.
Right.
Issues in each one. Just, you know, and then I started getting the little thin ones as they would come out, but I've gotten so far behind.
For somebody like me, who likes comic books and television, would you recommend me, and I've never read the comic or watched the show, would you recommend going back and watching the show or reading the comic?
It doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
They're so different.
They're so different.
Yeah,
gotcha.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of characters that are the same. And I mean, you know, Rick and...
So the best advice would be to pick one.
No, you can do both, and that's the great thing.
No, pick one.
No, you're saying...
No, I'm just kidding.
The best advice is pick one, and I'm saying the great thing about it is you can do both and get 2 different storylines.
Yeah, that'd be...
With featuring the same characters, essentially.
Yes.
Like, there's no Daryl Dixon in the comics. So you get the Daryl Dixon character on the TV show. There are people that die early on in the comics that are still alive on the show, and there's people that... are alive in the comics, but they've already killed on the show. And I mean, it just, the comics were just a piece of source material to get it started. They always intended them to not follow, because what's the fun in that?
Right.
If you always know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
So they'll very much change things up. And the comic books, Carl's a sociopath.
That's a good lesson for the wrestling business.
There you go.
Give them something they're not. Expect. Yeah. Don't just follow the formula. Don't just do what people expect.
It's a pretty good way to tie things together there, Heath.
Yeah, you like how I did that? You like how I did that?
Uh-huh.
Listen, this is the show. We talk about stuff. We talk about wrestling. Listen, this show started 2 guys who hadn't seen each other in years go to have chicken wings.
We're going to tell this story again here in 10 minutes.
And it's called a teaser.
I know.
I'm just going to leave the teaser.
Okay.
And this show, we're getting ready to hit 100 episodes.
Yep.
Getting ready to record our 100th episode here in about 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Never would have thought. And I never would have thought when we started the show that this show that we have done right now, this is not what I envisioned the show to be, but I love it. I'm glad this is what the show is.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I mean? Do you understand?
Yeah.
So.
I didn't know you envisioned the show being anything.
I think I envisioned the show being.
Wait, let's save it.
Okay.
That's a teaser.
That's a teaser right there. Listen, don't tease us. Click on a banner, doubledropkick.com. Help support the show. There's even a link at the top. It says support the show. Now, how do you support the show? You just buy stuff, wrestling stuff.
Yeah, buy stuff.
Buy stuff, do some
I'm
stuff.
I'm trying to get Heath to get us a Dollar Shave Club code because people tend to love that.
Yes. Do you do Dollar Shave Club?
What do you think? Look at me, man.
Do you shave? How often do you shave? Twice a year. You shave your head as often as you shave your face.
That's probably some truth to that. Probably some truth to that, man.
Because I'm at a stage
and to just talk about something that nobody will care about. As you can see, I can't tell you the last time a razor blade touched my chin.
Oh, a chin. Yeah. I'm the same way.
Now, the sides, it's been a year.
Because in Mid-Atlantic Memories, you just got the.
That's right. I did shave it.
You just got the little, not even a goatee.
I did, because when I cut my hair off.
Yeah.
I shaved my face. I forgot about that.
Yeah. That's why you do a show with me.
You remind me of that. Yeah. Like, I had hair down over my shoulders.
Yeah.
And cut it all off, and when I did, I shaved my face.
Yeah.
I forgot about that.
But that was a shock.
But I have not shaved since then.
I wish we had taken selfies every time we recorded, because that first time I saw you after you shaved your head, I was like it made me regret missing your wrestling career even more, because you look like a scary guy.
Yeah, I've heard that from a lot of people. But I'm at that point now where I have to decide. So that's the last time I shaved my beard, by the way. So it's been that long since I shaved my beard. But I have to decide whether I'm going to cut my hair or not.
Yeah.
And I'm on the fence, man. Because it's not long at all right now.
I mean,
it's about the same length as yours.
Yeah.
But I just have got to make that decision. I either I'm going to wear a hat for the next year and a half or I'm not. Because it does take that long. And that's the issue with it. It's not like people think. Now, if you're a guy with like nice, thin, straight hair, you can start growing your hair out and it's no problem. But when you got hair like mine, it's like a year and a half to get it to where it looks. You remember, I mean, it was a long time before I could just take my hat off and my hair fall like I had long hair.
Let's just put it this way.
I always looked like I had an afro to you.
You always wore a hat.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, you wore a hat today, but before you cut your hair, you always wore a hat.
Yeah, but I had it in a ponytail sometimes when we wouldn't get together.
Maybe a little old ponytail. I want you to get a man bun is what I want.
Yeah, I don't see that. I don't know why we decided to talk about my hair, but Dollar Shave Club.
Which
we're promoting and don't even have a code.
Their products are great. You click on a banner.
Don't be like me. Take care of your personal hygiene.
No comment. Listen, on there, leave us a comment. We have gotten comments on episodes. There's a contact form on there. We got a really nice email. We're going to be talking about that in an episode coming up. Questions from fans. Go to our Facebook group, The Wrestling You Grew Up With. We talk about all sorts of stuff on there. Somebody brought up Ronnie Garvin the other day. People, it's a great group. I appreciate somebody said the other day that we had the best group on Facebook. I really think it's because we keep it civil. Not a lot of, no name calling. People like what they like, and we're not trying to, I'm not trying to convince people to like what I like. I just want to know why people have the opinions they do.
I like to read your comments sometimes on there.
Read it. What do you mean?
Because you do think you're a wrestling expert just now because you hang around with me sometimes, I think.
Mark, I think it's the other way around.
Like, I'll see somebody say something, and you just are like, point blank, that's not going to happen. Vince wants this. And you just, like, you put these comments where I'm just like, does he think he's me all of a sudden?
Well, you're not on there all the time. I got to play my character and your character.
I don't think people even know I'm a part of that group sometimes.
That's all good, though.
I refuse to get sucked into these conversations.
Right, and I've tried not to. Again, I ask questions. Like, if you're going to say something, if you're going to say, hey, this is the dumbest idea I've ever seen, or, hey, the New Day sucks, why? Why do you say the New Day sucks?
You just ask questions.
I don't just ask questions. Anyway.
Wait a minute. So you don't just ask. Which one is it?
It can be both. Mark, you just said it yourself. It can be both.
Let's see what...
Mark is on his phone.
Let me see what I can find
So this. Let me tell you something about Mark. He doesn't answer my text messages for a week because his phone isn't working. And yet right now he's on his phone trying to get incriminating evidence against me, trying to catch me in my words. I call that persecution.
You think so?
No. So
I was looking for the part when you told somebody.
Oh, they were talking about Cena's going to turn heel. I was like, yeah. Cena's not going to turn heel. That is not going to happen.
Which post was that?
I don't know, but you can remind me about it when Cena turns heel.
I found it. He had a falling out with Lucha Underground and likes eating, so he came back to who would pay him. That was your comment. What do you think of Alberto Del Rio coming back to WWE? That was what, and then they brought him back because he was Hispanic, which is stupid. I think winning the belt was in the deal to get him back. I think they just needed somebody to win the belt, and he was coming back, and they knew it would be good. I think he's a filler till Cena gets back. Plus, I think Cena's coming back as a heel. What's your take? That was the question. Not to you.
Yeah, just to everybody. Yeah. What did I
in
say?
In general. He had a falling out with Lucha Underground and likes eating, so he came back to who would pay him. And then we get, okay. So I'm assuming the WWE made a deal with AAA for this. Do you think Cena's coming back as a heel? Your response, no. Cena is not coming back as a heel. Del Rio will finish out all his indie dates and will not work a full schedule for WWE, which probably means he won't do all the house shows. I love your insight. You're so confident in what you say. Let's see. There's whatever. To WWE's credit, this was one of the most well-kept secrets they've had in a while. I'm not thrilled with Del Rio being back, but love that they put him with Zeb. It's a smart move, blah, blah, blah. What happened to Zeb, by the way? Talking about his being in the Rascal. Why is he in the Rascal? Your response, I think it's a prop. But he was off TV to have surgery. Maybe it's legit. I don't know. Added to the angle, in my humble opinion.
See, have you ever noticed how I can add that IMHO and it makes everything okay?
Yeah,
anyway.
For Cena to turn heel, you'd have to have a strong baby face to turn him against. That was you, by the way.
I know. Is that not true? Is that not true, Mark? Okay. What did I say that wasn't true?
Oh. I'm not saying you didn't say anything that wasn't true. I just think it's funny the way you say, especially like the one that I thought was funny was no period.
Period.
No,
period.
Period. Cena is not coming back as a heel. Period. Del Rio will finish out his indie dates and will not work a full schedule for WWE, which probably means he won't do all the house shows.
Period. Listen, if you would
wait, I'm sure.
No.
Hang on, let's see.
If you would, well, like, if you would want to join me in being verbally accosted by Mark, you can do so on Twitter. You can go and talk to me. I'll be nice to you.
You're not nice. I've seen all these times on this group.
Okay.
I have seen you say to people, you, sir, are a fool. You have this thing that you're this nice guy. And you're not always this nice guy.
But when,
that's what I'm saying.
When people say ignorant
about who I am.
When people say ignorant stuff, I call them on it. When people say something that is absolutely preposterous.
Okay. So for the record, the next time you say something ignorant and preposterous, I should feel free to call you on it.
When have you not? When have you not felt free to call me on it? Good Lord. You wake up every morning, it's like 6 billion people, and I'm waiting for all of you to say something stupid.
No, just you. I'm just waiting on you to say something stupid every other Thursday, that's all.
And see, here's the thing. You always say I'm the one that leaves them wanting more. But when it comes to me saying something stupid, I always fulfill that obligation, my friend. So just as Alberto Del Rio, Alberto El Patron, will fulfill all his indie dates, I will fulfill my obligation of giving you ammunition and receiving the shots. So I'm at Heath Mulliken on Twitter.
I'm at the DDK Show.
Listen, I only got 140 characters on Twitter, so I'm not going to be, I'll have to be succinct in my deconstruction of your ignorance.
Unlike that TNA show last week where you talked for about 45 minutes. Listen, they ain't a bigger fan of this show than me, and I was like, I don't know how much longer I can listen to this.
Listen. I felt like I won a bet. I felt like somebody said, I bet y'all can't do 45 minutes on TNA. I bet you we can. I'll do it just to spite Dixie That's Carter. Right. I'll show her
That's right.
the Wicked Witch of the West. So, hey, listen, if we hope that through 99 episodes, you've had as much fun listening to this show as we have had recording this show. And highly recommend, if you're just a new listener, we got 99 episodes. You should go check those out. We've had What If episodes. We've looked at heel turns. We've talked about 80s wrestling. We did a tribute to Dusty Rhodes. We've talked about all sorts of stuff. And that's what we do. And that's what we're going to continue to do because that's what the people deserve. So, as always, for the best wrestling podcast recorded in Oconee County in the state of South Carolina in 2015 and beyond, the best wrestling podcast, the Double Dropkick Show. I'm Heath Mulliken.
I'm Mark Whitman.
And that's it this week, fans. So long for now.